Praise the Lord. I hope all of you are enjoying the nice weather that we're having. It's a welcome change from the long and dreary winter that we had this past year. It's finally starting to feel like summer. And I hope and pray that as we enter into this new season, that God continues to be faithful and loving to all of us, to be able to enjoy nature once again and to be able to experience His grace and His glory. This morning, I would like to once again read from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. First, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. It reads like this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before Your word this morning. We pray that, Lord, You would speak to us through Your holy gospel, through Your holy scripture. We pray, Father God, that You would continue to provide us the light that we need as we continue our life's journey. We pray that our lives would glorify You, that they would be a living testament, Lord, to Your grace. And we pray, Father God, that through Your word, You continue to provide us the direction and the guidance that we need. We pray for all of us who are gathered here. Help us, Lord, to hear and accept Your word, to be moved and changed and transformed by it. And we pray that once again, Father, that as a community, You would use all that we have to glorify Your holy name. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The Gospel according to St. John, as we all know, is probably the most symbolic of the Gospels that we have. And John himself was a person who utilized a great deal of symbolic language in all of his writings. He is a person who was very philosophical in his outlook, in his perspective, in his worldview, and that also is expressed in the way that he has written about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when John begins his gospel, when we read the introduction or the prologue to John's gospel, we see that it is quite different than the other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't speak about Jesus' birth, doesn't include a birth narrative. But what we see is that John goes beyond Jesus' physical birth or coming to this world as God incarnate. He goes beyond that. He goes back to the very beginning. So his Gospel begins just as the Bible itself begins. It's reminiscent of Genesis chapter 1, starting with the same three words, in the beginning. So here John is trying to help us understand that even though Jesus Christ only appeared in human flesh at a certain point in human history, Jesus Christ was always in existence. Jesus Christ was always present. It is through Christ that the world itself came into being. And John uses the descriptive and philosophical term word to describe Jesus. Word brought this world into being. So the world came into being, just as John writes here, through Him, that is Jesus Christ. So John is giving us a better understanding, or even a cosmic understanding, about who Jesus is, not just about His life and ministry while on this earth, but also helping us to understand that Jesus Christ has been in existence from the very beginning and will continue to be in existence as this world continues its course through history. John's prologue or introduction to his gospel that he's written about Jesus Christ in the early church, many scholars believe, was used as a part of liturgical worship. Some scholars even say that this prologue has been transformed into a chant or a song that the early Christians used to help them remember and glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when we read this prologue, I know there are a lot of theological terms, a lot of philosophical insight that John has put into these words, but John also helps us to get a better understanding of Jesus Christ, of his mission and his ministry in this world, and what it means for us as his people. So there are three different things that I would like to highlight in this passage this morning. The first thing is that we see that John uses the term light. He refers to Jesus as the true light, which shines in the darkness and enlightens the world. And he also says that it's this light that gives life. And that is a very important point that here John is trying to make. Jesus, as the true light of the world, is the one who gives life. That's how creation itself came into being, through the light of Christ. And so as the people of God, as God's children, we have to realize that when John is describing Jesus as light, he's not just merely using symbolic language here. He's trying to help us understand that the world that we live in is a sinful world, a world that has been encompassed and overcome by darkness. But Jesus, as the light of the world, has come into this world as the light of the world to defeat and overcome this darkness. So John is not trying to say that light and dark or light and darkness are mere opposites, but what he is trying to say is that light is what defeats and overcomes darkness, not just the physical darkness that we might experience, but also the spiritual darkness that looms over this world. That has been overcome by Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Jesus, even later on in John's gospel, in John chapter 8, says that he is the light of the world, that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So those who believe in Christ receive this light and are able to lead their lives, not in darkness, but in the light that is revealed through Jesus Christ. So darkness is no match for this light that has come into the world. Jesus Christ has come into the world to overcome all the forces of evil and darkness, to give us light for our own lives, to give us light for our journey. Oftentimes in our lives, we experience times of great grief and darkness, times where we feel totally abandoned, times in which where we feel that we are completely alone. But what we are reminded of through this passage is that Jesus is the light of the world. Light can never be overcome. Light only overcomes darkness. So even if we go through dark experiences in life, we have the light of Christ leading and guiding us, giving us direction, giving us the light for our path, to look forward to how God will lead us faithfully through whatever situation or circumstance we face in life. So when we read about Jesus being the light of the world, he's also the light for each and every one of us, the light for our path, the light for our very own life and existence. Secondly, what John describes in this passage is that those who receive Jesus Christ as the light of life, those who believe in him, are given a great and wonderful privilege, and that privilege is that they are known as the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. And what does this mean? Is this just another title or designation that's given to us as people who believe in Jesus Christ? We have the title Christian, we have the title Marthoma, we have the title of being born again. All of these different titles and designations are a part of our life, but also we have to realize that as people who believe in Jesus Christ, we have been given a great privilege and a great responsibility to be known as the children of God, as the sons and daughters of God. And this is not just a mere title or a mere designation. It's not something that we should use to proclaim superiority over others, but it is a part of our identity as believers in Jesus Christ. We have to be known as the children of God. That should be our primary identity in this world. Oftentimes, due to the society that we live in. We give more importance to our designations that come to us either through the situations that we face or through the things that we have accomplished. We give more importance to our careers, being known as professionals, being known as doctors or nurses or lawyers or whatever it may be. We give importance to these worldly designations that are bestowed upon us. But what John is trying to emphasize here is that while we live in this world, those worldly designations don't really matter. But this designation or this privilege and responsibility to be known as the children of God, this identity is what we have to uphold in our lives. We have to be the children of God. When we are given this power, given this privilege, given this responsibility to be known in this way, we have to strive to lead our lives according to that identity. And that means that we have to lead our lives in a manner in which we are able to glorify God. We have to be people who are not just so-called Christians on a Sunday or during the weekend, but we are called to be the children of God, to be believers each and every moment of life. So we have to take this role, this responsibility, this privilege, this power that has been given to us and understand it in the most appropriate way. Acknowledge it, uphold it, and strive to lead our lives accordingly. And then finally, what John speaks about in this passage is that as the children of God, we are able to witness the glory of God and also to experience his grace. In this passage, it again says that the law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In verse 16, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Through Jesus Christ, all of us have received grace. And through Jesus Christ, we have all been able to witness the glory of God. But what again is the glory of God? God's glory is seen in and through Jesus Christ, God incarnate. He came to this world and dwelt among us as a human being. And ultimately, he didn't come to this world just to dwell among us and to enjoy the pleasantries of human life. He came to this world to suffer and to die. And that is how God's glory and how God's grace is revealed to us. We see that in and through the life that Jesus Christ lived upon this earth, he exemplified what it means to be a true human. He also exemplified the great love of God to all of us in laying down his life for sinful humanity, for the redemption of this dark and sinful world. We see that in Jesus' life, in his suffering, in his death upon the cross, and ultimately in his resurrection, that the glory of God has been revealed. And through God's glory, we receive grace. We are reminded of the grace that we have received, not because we deserve it, but because God loves us so much that he wants to save us, to protect us from the forces of darkness, and enable us to lead a blessed life here on this earth and also to have the hope of eternity. So we see that we have received grace upon grace through Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who has made it possible for all of us to be known as the children of God. This prologue or this introduction to John's gospel reminds us about the amazing love and grace that God has for us. We are also reminded that through Jesus Christ, we have been given light, we have been given life. And we are also reminded that this life that has been given to us through Jesus Christ ultimately is not our own. It's a life that belongs to God. So we must utilize this life to serve him, to serve his kingdom, to build up his church upon this earth. We are to utilize the light that has been given to us to be a beacon of shining light in this world. We have to shine as Christ shined in this world, being his light, passing on that light to others, so that this world can be full of the light of Christ, so that all of us together can lead a life that brings glory and honor to God. So dear friends, as we spend this day in preparation to receive Christ's holy body and blood, let's remember that it's Christ's light that came into this world that has overcome all forces of evil and darkness. It is that same light that gives us life. It is that light and life that calls us to be the children of God. And because we are the children of God, we are able to witness the glory of God and experience His grace each and every day. So let's be changed and transformed, and let's lead our lives for God's glory and utilize all that we have to build up His kingdom and to build up His church upon this world. Let us bow our heads in prayer. At this time, I would like to request Mr. Eben Varghese to lead us in prayer.